Accession number 24192, Reel 6.
Mr. Taylor, Reel 6. We're talking about your time at Llanelli Barracks, Hubblerath, Dusseldorf. You'd gone there in sort of March, April
49.
You were firstly on trialing these new overcoats or coats and the combat uniform.
Combat
uniform. Anything shirt, else?
Shirts.
Anything else you were trying out?
Shirts, socks. Shirts, socks. And of course, we had the DMS boots, directly moulded soled boots.
Well, what did you think of them?
Oh, after the old ammunition boots, the studded boots, I mean, they were directly moulded. You didn't get your feet wet unless you went over the top. So they were excellent as far as I was concerned.
Were they as easy to keep smart and polished?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I think they were better. They were better than the old army, the old leather boots. You know, the old ammunition boots.
Sort what of. About your feet sweating? Were they all sort of plastic or rubber? Or
you had an insole, which you could take out and wash, put it back. Some people had bad feet through the insole. They did make them sweat. I didn't feel it. I've never had problems with any boot in the army with my feet. Never. And, I thought they were godsend.
Any other new equipment or uniform? What about your actual webbing? Was that new?
We didn't get. When did we get the webbing? I don't think we had it then.
Anything else?
I'm sure you didn't, because we went to Korea with the old stuff. So no, we didn't have any new webbing.
After the trials, did they take it away from you?
Yeah.
So you went. So it was just trials.
Your own stuff, which were on your charge, you handed in and had it labelled and everything. So when you handed the old stuff in, you got yours back. And that was it. And never saw it anymore. Never heard anything about it at all.
Anything else happened at Hubblerath?
There's nothing spectacular, because I can't remember. Not that I can remember.
Just routine.
Just routine.
How long were you there for?
We came back in. Came back to the UK. I think it was around about the middle of 1950.
So around about June.
Yeah, around about June time. Yeah.
You were at Hubblerath over a year then, just over a year.
Yeah.
How did you feel about going back to, you know, Britain? I mean, you'd been out, even you'd been out quite a while by then.
Yeah, quite a while, yeah. I thought, we knew where we were going. We knew we were going to Korea for that time. So we sort of looked forward to it, really, going back to the UK and having a little stint there.
Now, where did you land? Where were we sent to?
We landed at Harwich. We went to Dover Castle. What were the old spider huts, out of good accommodation, back in the old blighty accommodation again.
What did you think of the spider huts? I mean, can you tell us what spider huts were and describe them?
Well, if you walked into the end of the hut, you had two bunks on the end, which the NCOs used to sleep in, and you walked inside, and there was a cavernous building with about, I don't know, you'd get a platoon in the spider hut, which was probably about 25 men. Had its own toilets, its own wash place. It was wood. Not terribly warm. You still had your old pot belly stove. And that was about it. Not very warm at all.
Now, we're not quite sure about the dates, so I just want to make this clear, so we can put in the dates from the official histories later. Your impression is you arrived at Dover in late 50, possibly not June 50.
Probably later 50, it's possible. I can't remember the date. Dates are not my strong point.
No problem at all. So what about, so you're in the spider huts, what about the routine of life, did that change much when you got back to England?
It didn't change a great deal. We still did sort of the same thing. You still had your guards to do, your duties to do. We went out firing and this sort of thing. We didn't get any new equipment as far as I can recall.
You were still there, then on the 3-inch mortar.
Yeah,
that was,
yeah,
it didn't,
yeah,
change.
No, didn't change whatsoever. Now, and I can't remember how long we were at Dover Castle, but I have a feeling that we were there at least 3 months, I would think.
Now, they were getting ready for you. How did you feel about going to Korea? It was an active service front. I mean, you knew you were going at some point.
I knew
you were
going, yeah.
How did you feel about the prospect of active service?
I thought it's something we had to do. We'd been trained for it. So be it. That's the way I felt about it. Had to look up and find out where Korea was.
Did you want active service? I mean, did you actively want active service?
Yeah, I think that's where the closest we'd been to active service then was in the airlift, with the Russians being in a sort of a high-powered setup at that time. I think we were, anybody fired a shot, I think probably the start of another World War or something. That's how bad it was at the time. I think that was an area we'd been to, active service. So, I was really looking forward to it.
You weren't nervous?
No, I don't think I was.
I
felt a bit apprehensive at the time, but I wouldn't say I was that nervous.
One problem a lot of the battalions had was when they were sent, told to get ready for Korea, was this business of getting national servicemen being too near the end of their time, other regulars being near the end of their time, and you just, the business of getting a complete battalion together was causing problems. Were you aware of any problems like that with your battalion?
Yes, we were under strength. So we then had reinforcements coming from the rest of the East Anglia Brigade. We had people coming from Northamptons, the Bedfords, the Essex, Buffs, I think the Surreys, some Surreys. Quite a lot. I had 10 from different units join me. Not at Dover Castle, they came when we were on a firing exercise in Lydd, in Kent, prior to that, to moving.
And how did these all, I mean, they weren't Norfolks.
No.
How did they fit in?
Well, most of them were, again, National Servicemen. I don't think they made any difference whether they were in the Norfolks or what they were in, really. They knew they got 2 years to do. You had one or two, were a bit, especially the Londoners. But they knew they'd got to do it, so they got on with it. They weren't too worried.
Were you still, and you got promotion by then, or still
no.
corporal? Still
corporal. Yeah.
And tell us, the firing exercise at Lydd, what was that?
We, in fact, I think the Lydd one was after we'd moved to Crowborough. We moved to Crowborough, we went down, the machine guns went down as well, the Vickers. I'm sure John went down at the same time. But they had the ranges where you fired out to sea. Firing on target out to sea. That was again just an exercise of different types of firing, rapid firing, sighters and all that sort of thing, ranging shots and setting up positions, and just to sort of get everybody in the swing of things. And some people, the new people, we had to retrain for as order people. And then back to Crowborough, where the rest of the time was sort of taken up getting ready for Korea.
Now, what did you have to do? I mean, sometimes there's a medical where people are assessed when they're fit for overseas service, because standards for almost peacetime home service are not the same as for overseas.
Yeah, we had the normal inoculations. I think in general, if the person's been around, say, for whether sometimes you could tell really whether he was how fit he was. Some of them did have medicals, I must admit. I think some were put forward to medicals, but the I can't remember how many inoculations we had at that time, but quite a few, I think.
Did they have any effect? Or sometimes they cause.
Yes, sometimes they do. You had people with either swollen arms this way or swollen arms under your arm. The TAB as they had then, the TAB, that was pretty rough shot.
Did it affect you?
Never did. Even the vaccinations, which used to be come up on some people with a big scab, but it never affected me. It came up and went. As I said before, you don't really, until you've got to do something, you don't realise how fit you are at that time. That's how I found it anyway.
Can we look at some of the characters in the battalion? You know, you've been with them a while now. Perhaps, you know, just pick up on some of the officers and men that you might have known. I don't know whether Tim Creasy was there for a long time. I don't think he went overseas, but I'm not sure about that. But he was the adjutant for a while. Captain Tim.
Tim joined us at in Berlin because he was Indian Army. He joined us and he went initially at as signals, in the signal turn. On the second turn, then he became adjutant in Berlin. And then, after we moved to Berlin, next time I saw him, he had a job, he'd gone to Kenya, I think.
He rose very high in the army.
Yeah, he was a general. Yeah.
What was he like as a bloke? You know, I mean,
it's funny you should talk about Creasy because I knew him from that time. And I met him in Dover after he got back. He was driving to the camp for some reason. He'd probably come just to visit someone. We had a little chat. He was a major then. And then he didn't go to Korea with us. The next time I saw him was at Sandhurst. But that's gone a bit further because we haven't come to when I'm going to Sandhurst yet. But and he came as chief instructor to the Victory College, where I was at. And I warned, because he was a stickler, he was a strange character, stickler for timings and tactics and all this sort of thing. And I warned one or two of the NCO senior NCOs that I said, you've had this, the guy who he took over from was a lieutenant colonel in the Gurkhas, and he was about to finish his time, very laid back, you know, if you want to do something, you do it, sort of thing. And so I told him that this Major Creasy was coming as chief instructor. I said, you won't get away with what you've been getting away with. Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah. Okay. And we had an exercise at the back on Barossa, because it was a training area, one morning, and I'd fed my platoon. And Tim was there, and he always had a stick. And he was walking around, he used to thump his thigh with his stick, walk up and down. He said, I can't remember the name of the platoon, number of the platoon now. He said, such and such platoon been through yet? No, sir. Oh, where are they? Down there. So off he stumped with his old stick. And he found the two that I'd spoken to about him, still in bed this time. The cadets were milling around, hadn't been fed or anything. So he asked them out, chased them up. And during the day, we had a demonstration of slit trench digging. And guess who were digging the slit trenches? The two sergeants he found in bed. This is the sort of thing he did.
You say he was a strange character.
I liked him, actually. I liked him because I think he was a soldier type.
What do you mean by that? What did you like about him?
If you knew that if you were doing something well, you would get praise for it. If you were doing something wrong, you would get your boot up your backside, sort of thing. And after that, no, sorry. One other time I saw him before that, I came back to Battalion Barracks as an instructor.
Well, I'll hold that one. We'll come back to that. Because I'm just trying to get an idea of his character. That other story sort of gives
I was involved with him so much. Following around,
Oh,
I liked him. Yeah, I liked him.
When he was a young, you know, he was just a captain. Perhaps when he was an adjutant, perhaps just edging up to major. I mean, did he strike you as a chap who'd go far?
Oh yeah, I thought
he stood out.
I thought he would. Yeah, he was a big man. He was a big man, especially standing at the wicket. Could he play cricket as well? So, Yeah, I thought he would.
And some of the other majors, I mean, I'll just read the names and see whether you remember any of them, like Hubert Holden.
Holden, didn't have much to do with him, actually.
Peter Davis?
Peter Davis, major. Was he a major?
Apparently, Davis? Major Davis. Perhaps not. Gibbons?
Gibbons.
I'm not sure who was support company major, you see.
Commander was. MacArthur, I knew. Major MacArthur.
What was he like?
Didn't like him.
Why not?
I think probably whether he took a dislike to me or not, but it was the way he always seemed to me to be not in tune with the rest of the soldiers within his company. That's the impression he gave me. And
He was
support company, but
do you know his first name? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure what his surname was.
Actually. Look it up. You know. But he didn't gel with the company.
Well, it didn't appear to. No, he didn't appear to at all. No.
You can't put your finger on why. That.
I can't put my finger on why. Maybe it's the way he was, or I don't know. It's just one of those strange people you come across within you.
Did he treat the men fairly, or was it?
I think so. I think he treated them reasonably fairly. Yeah. Wasn't too bombastic or anything like that, but he still didn't seem in tune with everybody around him.
Major Gibbons?
Major Gibbons, I don't know.
A couple of senior NCOs? I'm sure you must have known RSM Gilchrist.
I know Gilly,
do you know his first name? Because a lot of people just don't seem to remember it. It's all right. Paddy. What was Gilchrist like as RSM? You must have had quite a bit to do with him. What did you think of him? What was he like?
I thought he was... in a way, he was a bit bullish, but at the same time, I think he had a soft centre somewhere along the line, somewhere in there. And I always got on right with him, actually. And I remember a time when I was battalion order sergeant at one stage, and he was the RSM, and he said, get out and take over that that guard, take over from the guard commander, because somebody from Hong Kong or from the hierarchy were coming in.
This was when you were in Hong Kong. It's all right though. Tell the story.
Yeah, and so he said he made me go out and take over the guard. So I did one or two things, and also at the same time with the small packs and the camouflage. Sort of, I made a setup with a camouflage helmet. We had the old cap comforters, and you had the face veil. Put that on, so that you could sort of take it off, and drape down, cover your face, this sort of thing. But when this is the sort of thing that he liked. So I think, of course, smartness as well, that did help.
So you got on well with him?
Yeah, I found
was he right. Popular in the battalion?
Not very popular, I think.
Why not? Well, or was it just the most RSMs?
I think probably most RSMs, but, you know, you'd walk through the barracks and suddenly you'd see nobody, and suddenly the RSM was coming this way, that's the sort of thing that used to happen. I think he looked after the senior NCOs in the mess, and something when we came back from Korea and Hong Kong.
I will come back to that. What about I just want snapshots, you know, early if you can. What about Bert Fitt, who was probably a company sergeant major, might have just been a sergeant at the time, who we've interviewed, so you know we know him. But he was very much the old soldier, I should imagine, back then.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of in England. What did you think of Winky Fitt at the time?
As a company sergeant major, it had much to do with him, actually, because I think he joined us in Berlin, actually.
Did
during the airlift. And I think he took over D Company. I think he went in D Company, if I remember rightly. But because with being in another company, I really didn't have much to do with him. Never ran into him much at all.
Did he have a reputation?
He had a bit of a reputation, I think.
What?
A bit of a bully, I think. And well, I think he was a bully, actually, in lots of ways. You know, he bullied me, but I know some people used to be frightened of him, and when he used to shout and scream at something for nothing, you know. But by the same token, he would say, get those children off the square. This was at later time. And next time you'd see him with one in each hand, walking across the square with the kids to the science mess, he'd come back with chocolate and all this sort of thing. This sort of guy he was, you know.
So, again, a soft centre,
yeah,
you reckon?
Yeah, that is a soft centre, yeah.
Did people reckon on... I mean, he had presumably a hell of a wartime reputation at the time.
Yeah.
And not just him, but the others. But did people who'd had what they call a good war, were they looked up to by... you were a corporal or a young sergeant.
Yeah.
Would you look up at a chap who'd actually done it?
Yeah, because I had one company sergeant, Major Davis. I mean, he had a DCM, an MM, and an MM. So he'd done his bit, and I liked him as well.
So the company sergeant Major Davis, what was he like? Do you know his first name?
I don't.
Davis, D-A-V-I-S.
D-A-V-I-S, yeah.
Was he from the 2nd Battalion as well?
No, I think he was 1st Battalion. He was the 1st Battalion.
What was he like? You had more to do with him, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, he was a great guy. Genial type guy. Have a laugh and joke and this sort of thing with the guys. And he was very smart. He was tall. He could wear uniforms, which one or two of them couldn't. And well, I found anyway. And he was very good. I liked him. I liked him a lot. And so did everybody else, as far as I can recall.
Any other company sergeant majors?
Well, my company sergeant major in Berlin was Doogie Moore.
Who, sorry?
Doogie. I don't know what his name is, but
Doogie.
Doogie. D-O-O-G-E-I, I suppose it's D-G-I-E or something. Doogie.
Moore,
yeah. He was another. He was a little short guy. He was about 5'6" or something, so you call him short. But he was quite good. I liked him as well.
He was your company sergeant.
He was my company sergeant at the time, as a young soldier.
What was he like? I mean, how did he treat you?
He used to treat everybody very well. Very well. He did his job. He was quite efficient in his job, I found. Told you what to do, and you knew that when he told you that's what it was. And I think, I found him good, the same as everybody else. I think everybody in the company. And he was a good guy.
Now, another sergeant we know is I don't know whether he was a sergeant quite then in Crowborough and thing, but was John Denny, who was in the machine gun section of the support company.
John. I met John at Dover when we arrived back in Dover. I think he came from the Essex. I can't remember whether he was Essex.
But what was he like then? Forgetting that I know him now, was he like then as a young sergeant? I think he would be just a sergeant.
About the same. He was a corporal then, when I met him. He's about the same as he is now, actually. In fact, he hasn't changed much at all, except gone grey like all of us. But he was.
Would you socialise with people like him? He was a corporal in your company.
He was with us all the time. I mean, I've got photographs of John and me and two or three others and the mess socials and all this sort of thing. I like John.
Yeah. What about the other? The others who were with you in the photos, who else were your pals?
Had one the same name as me, Jeff Taylor. No relation.
Jeff with a J or G?
G. Jeffrey, his name was.
What was he like? I don't know him.
He was a little bit bombastic. He's a little guy. He's one of these little guys with big ideas, you know, but which didn't always materialise. And we used to go out together.
I liked him. And what was he at? Which section was he?
He was M&G, actually. He was with John. Mike Freeman was another one. He was M&G's.
What was he like? He was another one of your little group.
He was a moody type guy. He was an individual, more than... He'd go out with you and But I think I always felt that he'd rather go out by himself than go out with anybody else, go out with a crowd, you know. So he died of cancer about 5 years ago, Jeff Turner. Mike Freeman now in the Philippines somewhere, I think. I don't know why he went out there, but John seems to know where. John told me the story about it.
So anybody else? You've got Denny, Taylor, Freeman. Any other special mates?
Osborne was another one, but he was older than than me, quite a bit. Older than John as well. John's about the same age as me, actually. I think I'm 6 months older than John, actually.
Do you remember Osborne's first name or nickname?
Well, Ozzy was the Ozzy. No, I don't know. I don't know his first name, actually.
What was he like?
As I said, he was older. He was a wartime. He was a wartime.
So he'd be 5 or 10 years.
Sorry, five or six years older than me. He was a good. He was a good guy. I liked him. Yeah, I got on well with him. Didn't socialise so much with him because he was that much older, and probably with another crowd or something. Dutch Holland was another one.
Another corporal.
No, he's a sergeant.
What was he like?
I got on well with Dutch. We always had a laugh and joke together, and he was an ex policeman before he joined Royal Norfolk. When did I meet up there first? I think it was. I think it was after Dusseldorf. I met up with him, and of course he went to Korea with us, and we got on well, we socialised.
Where would you tend to socialise? I mean,
in the mess mostly, mainly in the mess.
This corporal's mess then, or
corporal's mess, science mess.
What was the corporal's mess like? You actually had a corporal's mess then, did you?
Then we did, yeah.
What was the corporal's mess like? What did it provide for you? What was it like?
You had your committees and who ran it. It provided booze, of course. We had our own parties. You from the funds, that sort of thing. You could bring in another. You could invite the foreign officers. You invite the officers. You had your own parties with the wives or if the wives were around. You go in and read the newspapers, and all this sort of thing.
How big a room would it be? I mean, was it a hot top?
Yeah, it was quite. It was a brick building, in fact, as far as I can recall. It was quite big, actually. We had, it was about three rooms. You had your main room, which is the bar, and you had your sort of the function, which you used as a function room, and that sort of thing.
Would you eat in there, or did you eat with the men?
No, you ate in the diner with the men, or the cookhouse, as they called it then.
What about drinking habits? I mean, I know it's sometimes a different. But what was it a corporal's mess, a hard drink? You know what a hard drinking mess is, was it a hard drinking mess?
I wouldn't say it was, actually. I wouldn't say it was. You had your moments, but it wasn't so. It was on every night, this sort of thing. You couldn't afford it anyway at that time.
What were you drink? What was the drink of choice?
Well, mainly beer, I think. Probably beer in the UK, but I don't think abroad it was more the shorts because it was cheaper.
What level of drink are we talking about? We're talking about 4 or 5 pints, or 6, 7, 8, or what?
I don't know anybody else, 5 or 6 pints, I suppose.